Hello, folks. Welcome to the LRIS podcast series. This is Will Aitchison with yet another update on police reform legislation. I know I spoke to you earlier today about the police reform legislation that had passed in Colorado, what was being proposed by Democrats in the Senate, and what the contents were of President Trump's executive order. And in that podcast, I told you we hadn't seen anything yet from the Senate Republicans, but they had been talking about police reform legislation. So what happened less than 12 hours after I recorded that podcast? The Senate Republicans dropped their bill, and we now know what the Senate Republicans want in the form of police reform. It was announced this morning by Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina. Senator Scott, the lone African-American Republican senator. It is clear he is not a lone wolf on this one, however. Senator Mitch McConnell has already expressed support for this legislation. So what I wanted to do was spend a few minutes with you. This isn't going to be as long as yesterday because I'm only talking about one piece of legislation, albeit one that is over 100 pages long. But I did want to go over the highlights of this legislation for you and talk about where it's different from what we've seen before. First of all, the legislation envisions that there will be national best practices on a lot of aspects of policing. The legislation would require the National Criminal Justice Commission to develop best practice guidelines, and now I'm going to quote, to ensure fair and effective policing tactics and procedures that encourage equitable justice, community trust, and law enforcement officer safety. So best practices on policing tactics. It goes on. The National Criminal Justice Commission would also be required to develop best practices guidelines for, get ready, quote, hiring, firing, suspension, and discipline of officers, and best practices for community transparency and optimal administration of a law enforcement agency. I want you to think that through for a moment. What is going on with this provision in the legislation about best practices? The idea is we're going to have national standards for these things. Police practices, I assume that that's going to involve police procedures, things like pursuits, things like use of force and the like. In addition, we're going to have best practices with respect to employment issues, hiring, firing, suspension, and discipline of officers. Do we really want national standards for those things? I mean, when you think about it and you go back to when our country was formed, one of the things that we deliberately did not do when we formed this country was to have a national police agency. And when you look at what has happened over time with national police agencies in some other countries, that seems like a pretty good idea that we have local control over law enforcement. This would be opening the door, not just a crack, but maybe a good deal towards having national rules for law enforcement agencies. Now, maybe you think that's a good thing, maybe you don't think that's a good thing, but let's play a little bit of a thought game on this. Right now, we have President Trump, who's going to be the Republican nominee for president in the election later this year. Imagine what those best practices would look like under President Trump. Now, the Democratic nominee, or at least the presumptive one, is former Vice President Biden. Imagine what the best practices would look like under Vice President or President Biden. Now, whatever you think of those two gentlemen and their politics or anything like that, I'm sure you'll agree with me that the best practices will be significantly different under those two individuals. is that something that we really want? I don't know. I don't know how thought through that provision is. Okay, next, the Senate bill deals with body cams. And body cams, this is one of many aspects of the Senate Republicans' bill. They're taking a carrot rather than a stick approach, largely. And by carrot, I mean you get grant money for body cam programs if you have it. The grants would be up to 50% of the costs of programs for large jurisdiction and a flat 50% of costs for units of government with fewer than 100,000 residents. And the director of the Bureau of Justice Assistance would need to develop that program and the grant program and how it would be administered. The Republican bill has both a bunch of unfunded mandates and some funded mandates. This one is a funded mandate so that there's actually money that is directly appropriated in the bill for these grants, these body cam grants. How much money? $100 million a year for the entire nation. You can make a decision whether or not that is adequate. The grants must supplement, not supplant, local government funding. So you can't go out and get a grant and then simply shift money from your body cam program that you already have into some other expenditure. It has to supplement the funding that you've got in place. And the grants would be conditional on six things. First of all, having policies that were developed with community input. Secondly, requiring body cams to be on whenever an officer detains or arrests a subject. Third, requiring discipline for officers who intentionally fail to activate their body cams. Fourth, requiring training on body cam use. Fifth, providing clear standards for privacy and data retention. Those standards are not specified. And lastly, making body cam videos available to the public so long as doing so will not compromise an investigation and I'm quoting, with due consideration given to the privacy rights of, and I'm quoting again, victims and surviving family members. The grants with respect to the body cam program that this bill is contemplating would be subject to graduated reduction in amount up to 25%, depending on the policies that the local jurisdiction had as to the discipline of officers who intentionally failed to ensure that the camera is engaged. So, new grant program for body cams, the idea behind it pretty clearly is we want every police officer in the country to have a body camera on whenever they make an arrest or a detention. Next up, carotid holds and choke holds. Carotid holds, not mentioned in the legislation. Choke holds are, they must be banned or the agency will lose Department of Justice funding. Next topic, database about law enforcement officers. So this bill envisions a very comprehensive national database on law enforcement officers. What's going to be in that database? Agencies are going to have to report to the FBI uses of force that result in death or serious bodily injury and firearms discharges in the direction of an individual. The information reported will also have to include firearms discharges in the direction of officers, officer deaths, serious bodily injuries on officers, and also incident information, officer information, and subject information, none of which is defined in the bill, are all going to have to be reported to the FBI. And what happens if agencies do not make these reports to the FBI? Noncompliance will lead to a graduated reduction in federal funding that the agencies are already receiving, up to a maximum reduction of 25%. The reported information must be published, and the bill does not say anything about whether the information will be anonymized, whether we'll see officers' names in it. We just don't know from the bill. Okay, next, hiring. None of the other bills or the executive order that I talked about yesterday dealt with hiring at all. The Senate Republican bill, again, keeping with its carrot rather than a stick program, expands existing grant programs to allow for grants to, and I'm going to quote, a law enforcement agency that has a substantially different racial and ethnic demographic makeup than the community served by the agency, to hire recruiters and enroll law enforcement officer candidates in law enforcement academies to become career law enforcement officers who have a racial and ethnic demographic characteristics that are similar to the community. That's going to be, first of all, it's going to be a very difficult proposition. There's at least, I couldn't find any funding associated with this one. So this may be an unfunded mandate, although I'll admit I could have overlooked that in my effort to read the more than 100-page bill this morning. Did I complain about that already? I'm not sure. What I find ironic about this is we're starting to see some pretty strong evidence that the racial makeup of officers in terms of the use of force is turning to pan out in a very unusual way. There seems to be some pretty good evidence that Hispanic and Black officers use force against Hispanic and Black citizens at a greater rate, actually a fairly significantly greater rate, than white officers. And when I read this, I thought, wow, I wonder if they know about that research, and I wonder if they're going in the right direction here. I know there are other reasons to have a diverse workforce in a community. I understand that. But to the extent that use of force was one of the motivations, they're going to need to check the science on that whole thing before that bill should go into effect. No-knock warrants. Where the Senate Democrats would stop the federal use of no-knock warrants and conditioned Department of Justice grants on recipients not using no-knock warrants, the Republican bill takes a very different approach. It simply requires agencies to report whenever they execute a no-knock warrant. They'll have to describe the details about the warrants and the execution of the warrants, including the reasons for the warrants, the demographics of the suspects, use of force, and all that, but only after investigations are closed. What happens if you don't report? Noncompliance will lead to a graduated reduction of federal funds up to a maximum reduction of 25%. I'm going to find a way to shortcut that as we go through the rest of the bill because it appears several times. Next up, policed contacts. This is something completely new. It's not in the Senate Democrat bill, and it wasn't in the executive order. This will create a new federal crime where an officer knowingly and willfully falsifies a report, and I'm quoting, in furtherance of a deprivation of civil rights. It not only creates this fine, it makes the offense subject to a sentencing penalty enhancement on the federal sentencing guidelines of not fewer than 4 offense levels. Pretty significant. Records retention. Nobody, not Colorado, not even Colorado, or the president's executive order or the Senate Democrats addressed records retention, and yet the Republican bill does. And hold on to your hats for this one. This will conditional federal grants on the maintenance of a records retention system that retains discipline and internal affairs records and commendations for 30 years, at least 30 years. Officers will be allowed to supplement those records with their own comments. These records would be available to all other law enforcement agencies, which would then be obligated to search the new records databases created by all of these various agencies around the country every time they're hiring someone who worked for those agencies. So you'd have to, if you knew that someone had worked in Omaha, Nebraska, and you were in New York City and you're thinking of hiring them, you'd have to go search the Omaha database. That's going to be a fun software problem to solve. We'll see how that works out. Next, the Republicans address sex, where the Democrats didn't and the president didn't and Colorado didn't, a very narrow way of addressing it. They add as a federal crime having sex with a minor under the color of law, the idea being that sex with a minor under circumstances where the minor is being detained or arrested by a law enforcement officer, in addition to being a state crime, would now be a federal crime. The Republican bill does address training. It requires the Attorney General to develop training for de-escalation, alternatives to use of force, the duty to intervene when another officer is engaged in the excessive use of force, and how to safely respond to individuals experiencing a behavioral health crisis. So the AG has to develop training for all of those things. The AG will then have the ability to certify public and private trainers for such purpose. And the AG may even provide, Attorney General's office may even provide such training itself. And then the Attorney General will publish whoever it is who has been certified. And it will also publish agency by agency information on the percentage of officers who have completed the training that is going to be mandated by the Attorney General's office. Now, this is one where you do have a direct appropriation of the bill. It's a grant program that will fund attendance at this training. How much? $50 million a year. For each year through 2025 to pay for the salary costs and travel costs and training costs of law enforcement officers across the country. And that's it on what the Republican bill says. It does not contain many of the other provisions, certainly, that we saw in either the Colorado bill, the Senate Democrats bill, or even the president's executive order. So there's nothing, for example, about military grade weapons. There's nothing about qualified immunity, nothing about indemnification and the like. So they're really, in many extents, on a completely different railroad track than the president was, which is kind of surprising, actually, right? Than the president was or than the Senate Democrats are, and everybody's on a different track than Colorado is. So stay tuned, folks. The first reports that we are seeing out of Washington, D.C. on the Senate Republican bill is that the Republicans are saying this is the only responsible way to address police reform. The president so far has been silent, and the Democrats are saying our way is the only responsible way to address police reform. But both the Republicans and Democrats are saying something has to happen quickly. Well, there's not just a little bit of a gap between where the Democrats and Republicans are. There's a chasm, maybe even chasm isn't the right word, gulf, whatever the right word may be. We're going to see a lot of political developments in Washington, D.C. And I want to end this podcast the way I ended the last one and talk to both police managers and police unions. Most of you are affiliated with groups that have a lobbying presence in Washington, D.C. So if you're on management side, it may be the National Association of Sheriffs, or it may be the IACP, or maybe your police chief is a member of a PERF or whoever it might be. On the union side, you might be in the FOP or IUPA or NAPO or Teamsters or AFSCME or wherever you are. It's really important that your lobbyists hear from you as to what you think about the various provisions in the Senate Republican bill. We are posting the bill on our website. You can download it there. And also that matrix that I put together yesterday, I have updated it to contain the references to the over 100-page Over 100-page Republican bill on the issue. So with that, this is Will Acheson signing off with the hope that nothing else will happen that gets me back in front of this microphone in the next 24 hours.